Begin the current daf Masechet Eivin daf Kuf Aleph. Begin on the top line of the Gemara, where the Gemara continues with the following Mishnah, discussing the idea about binyan, building on Shabbos, and mechzika binyan, things that are forbidden because they seem like you're building on Shabbos. So the Mishnah begins, Hadelas Ador Sheba Muktza. Now, the Muktza is basically a backyard. That was called Rechava. It was behind the houses. And the reason why we specified that it was talking about in a Muktza, in other words, this backyard, is because they didn't constantly use this. And their chutz, or their front yard, is something that they constantly use. But the backyard, they didn't. And therefore, that's the circumstance of the case of our Mishnah, that the homeowner wasn't so concerned to make a full-fledged door that's established that could be constantly used. Rather, what they would do is they would take whatever it is, a plank of wood, or a subpar type of a door, and just push it up against the opening. And when they would open it, it would just put the thing down on the floor. It wouldn't be a really full-fledged door. And sometimes, although that it would be hanging, it would be attached, however, it would be dragging on the floor. So either way, it's not a full-fledged door. So you have this door that's by the muktzah. Similarly, of chadokim. Chadokim are thorns that were made into bundles, and it was prepared in a way, sheba pirtza, that was used to close up a breach. And sometimes they would open it. So again, there was also some type of a subpar door. Umachtzalas and reed mats. All these types of doors that we just mentioned, ein noilin behen. One is not allowed to close the door on Shabbos. And the reason is because essentially you're creating a binyan, a building. And even if it's hanging, in other words, it's attached, and it's dragging, it's not a full-fledged established door. And therefore, when you're picking it up and you're putting it onto the area of the doorway, since it's not established there, so then it seems like building. So either that it's actually building if it's not attached, and even if it's attached, but it's dragging, if you're going to put it in there, it's at least going to be usher because of mechzik habayin, it seems like that you're building. A regular door, you can tell that that is its function, and therefore you know when the person's opening and closing, it's not closing off the door. In other words, closing up the wall. It's the door. However, here, essentially, if it's not attached, you're closing up a wall, and therefore that's building. And even if it's attached, it's at least going to be a problem of mechzik habayin. However, the Mishnah says, Elam kein gevayim in the arts. Unless if it's elevated from the ground, that would be something that would permit it. That is, you have A, that it's attached, and B, that it's not dragging. Then if it's elevated from the ground, that is something that is not going to be a problem of binyan, and neither is it going to be a problem of mechzik habayin. Now Gemara asks a stira. Ramin, we learned the Braisa seems to contradict the halacha of our Mishnah. We learned the Braisa that delos hanegreris, a door that it's dragging, or machzelos hanegreris, or this reed mat that's dragging, the kankan hanigra, and a kankan that's dragging. A kankan is a type of a vessel a handle that they would hold on to the back of the plow when they would be plowing. And some of them they would use it to close up in the function of a door opposite the opening. So basically it's the same category as the other things that we're speaking about. So bisman shikshurin vitluyin, at the time when if it's attached and it's hanging, which obviously we see that the only thing we have to have is that it's attached and that it's hanging. However, the criteria that our Mishnah mentioned, that it has to be elevated from the ground, that was there's no such concern. On that, the Braisa says, Noilim ben b'Shabbos, so you could close with it on Shabbos. Vein tzarch lam yomtev, but you wouldn't have to say that it's permitted to close on yomtev. So the contradiction is that our Mishnah says it's not enough that it's attached and that it's hanging. Our Mishnah says it also has to be elevated from the ground, not being dragging on the ground. Yet here we see from the Braisa that we're not concerned about that it has to be elevated. As long as it's attached and it's hanging, it's enough even if it's not elevated from the ground. So Abaya says, the Braisa is talking about that it doesn't have to be elevated from the ground. In other words, that it shouldn't have a mechzi kibayin, that it shouldn't seem like it's like you're building because you're taking it from the ground. That's b'shiyesh lehem tzir. That's when it has a pivot. And therefore, it's obvious that it's a full-fledged door. And therefore, as long as it's attached, it's tied, and it's hanging, it doesn't seem like there's no mechzi kibayin. It doesn't seem like you're building because it has a pivot. Now, a pivot is a function of a door that you put it on to the side post that it can go ahead and swing around. So if it has that, obviously you're not closing up a wall, but rather you're putting up a door. And therefore, you don't have to have it elevated from the ground. So that's how Abaye answers. Rav Amar, Rava says that the Braisa is talking about even b'shehoyel ahensir, that if it had a pivot, that is, although it doesn't have it right now, it's still obvious that this is a door, because although now it doesn't function as such, but we see that it's not closing up the wall, and therefore there's no mechzi kabayin, because obviously this is a door, and because we see that it actually had a pivot. So now the Gemara asks, Meisvei, the Gemara asks on both of their pshatim. Delos hanegreris, we learned that a door that's dragging, umachzelos hanegreris, or a mat that's dragging, mekankan hanegra, and this handle of the plow that's dragging. So bizman shikshurin v'tluin, as long as it's attached and hanging, the gavoyim in the arts, and that it's elevated from the ground, afilim lo nima, even if it's just a hair breadth, but it has to be somewhat elevated, and this is the contradiction on both of their pshatim, that you see that obviously you need to have both. You need to have A, that it has tzir, that it has a pivot, and we see still that the Brisa says it has to be elevated from the ground, although even just the hair breadth, then you can close with them on Shabbos. And if not, you cannot close with them. So they wanted to resolve the first contradiction by saying that it depends if it has tzir or not, yet here we see clearly that even if it has a tzir, it still has to be elevated from the ground. So how do we understand it? So the Gemara says, Abai mitarz tameh, v'rav mitarz tameh. Both of them answered according to their original explanation of the first contradiction, that Abai mitarz tameh, Abai answered according to how he said before, that he says it has to actually have the pivot, but if it has it, then it doesn't have to be elevated. The way he understands this, the last brisa, is it's either or. Oish yesh len tzir, either that it has a pivot, and then it doesn't have to be elevated from the ground, or that it's elevated from the ground, and then even if it doesn't have a pivot, it will be good, because as long as it will be tied and hanging and elevated from the ground, then it won't be boina because it's attached, and it won't be mechzik boina because it's elevated. However, if it has the pivot, then it doesn't have to be. It's not saying you need both, it's saying either or. Similarly, Rav Mitarz Latameh, he says, according to how he said before, that kishahoy lehen tzir, either that it had a pivot, and then again, it doesn't have to be elevated, or that it's elevated even if it doesn't have the pivot, but that's how they're resolving it, that it's not saying they both, but it's either or, as they had resolved the first contradiction between our Mishnah and that first Brisa. So now the Gemara brings another Brisa that seems to say the same idea, that you don't have to have both. Tarna Rabbanu Lutna Brisa. Suchi Kaitzim, branches of a thorn bush, the chavil and bundles, sheheskinan lepirtza shebechatz, which was prepared for a breach in the courtyard, so bezman shekshurin betluin, as long as it's attached, it's tied on and it's hanging, then you're allowed to close with it on Shabbos and definitely on Yom Tov. And that's the idea, that it doesn't have to be elevated, again, as long as it's going to have the tzir, it's going to have this pivot, or that it had a pivot, that's enough to go ahead and consider it prepared and that it's a door and it won't be mechzik b'ayin. Tan Reb Chiya learned a braisa. Delas almana, which literally means a widow door, but it means to say that it's like a widow and that it's lacking something that it's necessary for it to be considered a full-fledged door. Hanegreres that's dragged, ain't noil ba, you're not close with it on Shabbos. So the Gemara asks, Heichadami delas almana, what is this delas almana that's not a full-fledged door that we're saying that if it's dragging, one cannot go ahead and close with it on Shabbos? So there's two opinions. Ikadama, that those that say the Chad Shifa, is talking about that it's made from one plank. Well, here definitely it seems like that you're building, as if you're putting a plank in the wall, which doesn't have any recognition that it's a door. It doesn't have a pivot. It's not made like a regular door, which is made up of many different parts. It's one plank. So that's called a Del Samana, and that would be a problem. Ikadama, that those that say the Lesle Gishma, that it doesn't have beams that attach the two, in other words, it's not one plank, it's two planks. But it usually has beams that connect it. It doesn't have that third. So again, it looks like you're just closing up the gap in the wall. But if it had these planks and this beam that connects it, then you see that that's a door, and therefore that would be permitted. But here, where you don't have that, it's again, mezik habayin, it looks like that you're building, and therefore the delas almana is forbidden. So the Gemara continues on this halacha of binyan on Shabbos regarding building. Rabbi Yehuda, hai madurta, regarding this bonfire, in other words, a very large fire, mimalamata, if you're building the bonfire from the top down, and that is that first you hold the upper pieces of wood in the ear, and then you put the other pieces of wood underneath it, then shari, that is permitted to do on Yom Tov, obviously, because on Shabbos you can't light a fire. But in Yom Tov, with that there, there's no problem about muktzah for the wood fire, for the firewood, and to actually light the fire, that there's another problem that we're taking care of if you do the top down. Because now, that wouldn't be considered building a tent. Because if you're building, even if it's building a bonfire, that would be a problem. Here we go in the top down, that's not how it's normally built, and therefore that's permitted. However, mimata lamala, also, if you're building from the bottom up the way it's normally done, that is forbidden. In other words, you can't first put the bottom piece of firewood in the square how it's normally done, in front of the princes, and then to organize the other ones on top of that, possibly in a triangular fashion, because that's like the building of a tent and its roof on top of that, which is forbidden. So although you're allowed to light a fire on Yom Tov, however, you're not allowed to do the malacha of boina, and that would be considered boina. Again, so the only way you could do it is if you first put up the top and you hold it up in the air and you put the bottom under it, but if you build it the regular way, that would be problem, al binyan. It's not like where it brings many different cases that share the same halacha. Chim b'yasa, same goes regarding an egg. And that is if you're organizing the egg on top of the coals, or on this type of iron kli, like a griddle, like a and or if you put on top of wood, either way that you put the woods together, and then you put the egg on top of the fire. With what you have to do is you have to actually hold the egg up in the ear, and then you put the wood underneath it. Because again, if you put the wood and then the egg on top, that would be like considering like building the walls and then the roof on top of it, which would be forbidden. Therefore, the egg has to go first, and then you put the griddle or whatever it is underneath it. Similarly, the Gemara says regarding a pot, as the Mishnah says in Masechtas Be'anav Lamed Beis Amud Beis, that you're not allowed to put two barrels one next to each other, and then to put a pot on top of that. And Rabbi Huda says what you cannot do is you cannot first put the barrels to put them one next to each other, and then put the pot on top of that. Because again, that's what's called derech bin. That's the way how you usually build. You build in the structure going from the bottom up. But you're allowed to hold the pot up in the ear space and then put two barrels underneath it. Again, it'll possibly have a fire underneath that you want to have it holding it up. Whatever it is, you can't do it the bottom up. It has to be from the top down. So the Gemara says, V'chem Puri, the same thing goes regarding a bed. That there would be this certain type of bed that the princes would go. It would be a travel bed. And it was made out of many different parts. So you could take it apart and put it back together again. And it had a long piece of leather that was surrounded with these straps around the whole frame of the bed. And when they would take it down, so they would take off the straps and then the leather would come off. That would be the bedspread. And if someone wants to go ahead and make this bed on Yom Tov, what he has to do is he has to hold the bedspread, which is this leather piece. You have to hold it up on the top, then bring the legs with the bed frame around it and put it underneath it. But you cannot first put, the way it's usually done, is the legs and the frame, and then put the leather bedspread on top of that, because that would be a problem again. Alz boina. V'chein chavita, some of the Gemara says, the same thing applies to barrels. That is, if let's say you're organizing your barrels in your storage house, one on top of the other in the rows, you can't go ahead and put one, two, three, and then put on top of them in this type of fashion, because that would be a problem. Alz boina. You would have to do the top first, and then the bottom. So the Gemara says, related to the idea that we mentioned in the Mishnah, that one of the cases was this chadokim shebepirtza, this one of these subpar doors which have halachic complications that it needs certain criteria to be able to do it, or else it's either bainer or it's mechzika bainer, was this bundle made out of thorns. So related to that, the Gemara brings a story related to this idea about that thorns were generally used to close up breaches. There was this tzeduki that said to Rabbi Shubi Chananya, chadkah, thorny one. In other words, you're compared to thorns, which obviously he was not saying in a very praiseworthy way. That it says regarding you, a pasuk in Micha, their best, in other words, a reference to Klal Yisrael, are like thorns. In other words, that you're not a great people. Obviously, roses are nice, but thorns are usually the bad things. The best of you are compared to thorns. So Amalei, so he said that Tzeduki shot you, you fool. Shuffle the Sefer Dekro, go to the end of the pasuk, and when you look at the end of the pasuk, you'll see that obviously it is telling us a praise. The Sefer, like it says over there in the pasuk, Yasher, they're upright ones, Mimesucha, are from shelter. Now what it's saying is that the upright ones of us, of the Jewish people, they protect us, the rest of us, like a sukkah, like a shelter. So therefore that it's telling us that they're a protection. So the Elamai Tavim Kechidik, so what does the beginning of the pasuk mean to say that they're good ones, their best ones are like thorns? It says, Kishem Shechadokim Halolu, just like these thorns, and this is the theme of that our Mishnah had mentioned it, Magin Nala Pirza, that it protects regarding breaches. No one's going to want to touch thorns, so that's used as a way to close up a breach. Kachtaivim Shebana, that's what the Pasuk is saying, so too the good ones of the Jewish people, the tzaddikim, the scholars, Magin Malenu, they protect us. That's what the Pasuk ends by saying, Yashav Mesucha, that they protect us like shelter. So therefore, it's not a bad thing. It's saying, to the contrary, a Shevach, that the tzaddikim are the ones that protect us, the rest of us. Another interpretation is that it's not a bad thing, but rather a good thing. Taivim kechedik, their best ones are like thorns. That the word kechedik, sometimes a ches and a hey could be interchangeable. Shemahadkin, that they crush, like Rashi brings the pasuk in Shmois, which talks about the keteris v'shachakta men hadek, that you will grind it. That you see that the word hadek is regarding of crushing. So that they will crush eser esham legehenim, the evil ones, in Gehenim. So that's what the pasuk is saying, that their best ones are kechedik, which is like hedik, that they're going to crush the Risham. So it's not saying bad about us, it's saying that they're going to mete out the punishment to the wicked ones. Like it says the pasuk in Michal, which says the same idea, kumi v'doishi, get up and thresh, bas Tzion, the daughter of Tzion, ki karnech asim basel, because your horn I have made iron, ufar saisecha asim nechusha, and your hoof I have made out of brass, and that you will crush the many nations. So again, this is not it's something derogatory that you're telling me that you're the only one. To the contrary, I just brought you two interpretations that show that it's really a shevach, either that they protect the rest of the Jewish people like a thorn closes a breach, or that they will crush the wicked ones in Gehenna. Now the Gemara goes to the next Mishnah. I'm going to return to the theme of the previous Mishnayos, which talks about the idea that you cannot be in one area and then go ahead and transport something else in another area. So the Mishnah begins. L'yamet odem rishus ha-yachad. A person is not allowed to stand in the rishus ha-yachad, in the private domain, and take a key, which is in the rishus harabim, v'yiftach rishus harabim, and then to open up something that's in rishus harabim, and that is the opening of a store that's in rishus harabim. Now, although, in truth, he's not really doing anything wrong, because he's not taking it from where the key is to the opening any more than Dalet Amos. So what's the problem? He's transporting, you're allowed to transport something less than Dalet Amos in Rishus Ram. But the problem is, it's a gezer, it's a decree, because that he might go ahead and take the key to where he is, and he's in Rishus Yochid, and the key's in Rishus Ram. So although he's transporting it less than Dalet Amos, not a problem, it's a gezer that he might come to bring it back to him. Similarly, a person is not allowed to stand Rishus Rabim in the public domain, and then stretch his hand above into another domain that has a height of 10 tefachim and a width of 4 tefachim. For example, if let's say the key of a store that's placed on its roof, and over there by the entry of that store is where the key is, so he's not allowed to be in Rishus Rabim, but yiftach Rishus Yochid, open up the store that's in Rishus Yochid, which has a height of more than 10 tefachim. And again, that's the same idea that's exerted, that he might bring it to where he is, which is in Rishus Harabim, within 10 tefachim of the ground, and therefore he can't go ahead in either one, although he's not doing anything wrong in that area, and therefore there shouldn't be any issa, but it's exerted, that he might come to bring it where he actually is. However, Elam Kein Asa Mechitza Gevaya Sar Tefachim, unless, if regarding the case of the Seifa, when he's in Rishus Harabim and he's reaching out to Rishus HaYachid, there is an idea to do that is, if you surround yourself with walls that have a height of 10 tefachim and the space of dalet tefachim, which gives it a domain of Rishus HaYachid, and then you could stretch your hand into Rishus HaYachid, that wouldn't be a problem, because then ultimately, even if you would bring it to where you are, you'd be transporting from Rishus HaYachid to Rishus HaYachid, which is not a problem. Divrei Meir, that's the opinion of Rav Meir, that he holds that there is such a gezeira. However, again, regarding the case of the seif, if you surround yourself with walls, then again, you'll make yourself Rishus HaYachid, and that wouldn't be a concern. Amrloi, however, the Chacham said to Rav Meir that obviously it's not an issa, that there is that it is permitted, and we don't have this gzer. How do they prove this? Maisa b'shug shel patam. There was an incident that happened in the marketplace of the butchers, Shahayu b'Yerushalayim, which was situated in Yerushalayim, Shahayu noilin, where they used to close the opening of their store, and they would stand there in Rishus Rabin, and umanichin es mafteach b'chaloyin. They would put the key by a window, shagabe pesach, which was on top of the opening. And the key was above 10 tefachim. So obviously you're allowed to stand in Rishus HaRabim and open up in Rishus HaYachid. So how can you say that it's Asr? We see that this is exactly what they used to allow in Yerushalayim, that they would stand in Rishus HaRabim and they would put the key on top of the door by a window, which was a Rishus HaYachid. And we see that there was no such a problem. A different version of this story, Rabbi Yossi Omer, Shuk Shul Tzamarim Hab. It wasn't the marketplace of the butchers, rather is of the wool sellers. And again, either way of that, if it's the Tzamarim or if it's the Tabachim, either way, we're showing from this story that one is allowed to stand in Rishus HaRabim and go ahead and take a key that's by Rishus HaYachid and go ahead and open up the door and keep it there in the ear of Rishus HaYachid. And we're not concerned that you're going to come to bring it back to you like Rav Meir is concerned. But now the Gemara asks on this story, V'rabbanan, what's the understanding of the Rabbanan that they said Amruloi? They said they brought him the story. What are they responding to Rav Meir? And as the Gemara explains the question, Amrav Meir Rishus HaRabim. Rav Meir, what's the case that he said that's forbidden to go ahead and open up in Rishus HaYachid? If you're in Rishus HaRabim, he said, you know, go ahead and move something in Rishus HaYachid, because although that's not forbidden, but you might come to bring it back. Umahadru inhu karmelis. And yet, what do they respond to him that they say, hey, how could you say that it's us? I'll bring you a story that's permitted. They don't tell him a case of Rishus HaRabim, Rishus HaYachid. They bring him a case regarding a karmelis. Because as the Gemara is going to show in a second, that Yerushalayim was entirely a karmelis, which is like a chatzar shal rabim shal irvu. In other words, it's like a public chatzar, when you have many houses open up into one courtyard where they did not make an Erev, and which is not a Rishus HaRabim, it's at most a karmelis. And the reason is because since the doors of Yerushalayim will close at nighttime, one is allowed to make an Erev, and we don't consider that a Rishus HaRabim, as the Gemara says. Tam Rabbi Barachan Om Rabbi Yechanan. Rabbi Yechanan already said the Yerushalayim il molid dalsasen nenos balayla. If Yerushalayim would not have that, their doors would be closed at nighttime. Chayov nele Rishus HaRabim. Now, if one would transport something in Yerushalayim, then he would have been liable for carrying in Rishus HaRabim. That's because Yerushalayim has the characteristics of what's called the Irshal Rabim, of the public city, that it should be considered a Rishus Rabim, because there's many people that are constantly walking through there. However, but what Rabbi Yechon was ultimately saying is that now that the doors are closed at nighttime, it's not a Rishus Rabim. And why isn't it a Rishus Rabim just because the doors are closed at nighttime? Because that's not how we learn out Rishus Rabim and all the things of Shabbos from how it was in the Midbar when the Jewish people were there. It's not like the Digle HaMidbar, which that was constantly open at all times. The Midbar was not closed off on either side. And therefore the question is that since Yerushalayim is a Karmeles, because again the doors are closed at night, so then we should not make any gzeira that you shouldn't stand in the Karmeles and open up an area in Yerushas HaYachad, which was the story over there, by the butchers or by the tzamarim, by their shuk, by their marketplace, that we should be concerned you might come to bring it back to you. Because even if you were to bring it to the street where you're standing over there, at the most, it's an Issa Drabana, it's a Shvus. Because again, as we just explained, the streets of Yerushalayim are a Karmeles, not a Rishus Rabim, because the doors are closed at night. And we don't make a Gzeir Li Gzeir. We only make a Gzeir that you might come to do something forbidden if that thing is going to be Issa Daraisa. Now here in the marketplace of Yerushalayim, at most is going to be Issa Drabanan. So what are they asking? What are they responding to Emeya? Hey, I'll show you a story that we're not concerned about standing with Rishus Rabim and moving something to Rishus Yachad and make him to bring it back. It's not true. That maybe we would be. The story that they're saying is talking about a Karmelis, not a Rishus Rabim. So therefore, what is their response to Remeya? So my Papa says that, no, you have to understand that Kan, over here, Rabbi Yechanan, that he called Yerushalayim a Karmelis, was Kledim Shenifritzu Bapirtas. That's before the walls of Yerushalayim were breached. And therefore, yes, if the doors are closed at nighttime, we view it as a Karmelis, not as a Rishus Rabim. But Khan, the Rabbanan of our Mishnah that responded to a mayor from that story, was La'acha Shenifritzu Bapirtas. That was after that the walls were breached already, and therefore we cannot view it anymore as a closed-off area, as if the worst that it's going to be is a Chatzis Shel Rabim that doesn't have an Eruv, and that it's a Karmelis. No, it's going to be considered Rishus HaRabim already, and that's why they brought a story to show that even though it is Rishus HaRabim, that there's no Isra of carrying in Rishus HaYachid, and that was the response to a mayor. However, the Gemara brings a different text. Rava Amar, Rava says that in the truth, that what we're talking about over here is that it is a Karmelis. As Rabbi Yechanan said, however, Seifa HaSan, the Seifa that brings the story of the Rabbanan, that they're coming to argue, Leshare Gina. They're arguing on the case of a gate for a garden, which a garden is a Karmelis, and the reason why a garden is a Karmelis, because it's more than the area of Beis HaSayim that was not surrounded, it was not enclosed for residential purposes. So therefore, that's the classic qualification of being considered a Karmelis. V'hachikam, and this is what Remeir was saying. In other words, Remeir, as the Gemara is going to explain right now, did not say his halacha only in Rosh Hashanah. He said it even by a Karmelis, and that is what Rabban in our Mishnah are responding to him regarding the case of the Seifa, which although we don't see that clearly in our Mishnah, however, that's what Rav's interpretation is, that although Yerushalayim is a Karmelis, Remeir was saying his halacha of a Gezeri even in the Karmelis, and that's what Rabban responded to him. So Remeir said, V'chein lo yamed b'shus hayachad. Simply, a person should not stand in Rishus HaYachad. For example, if let's say someone is in his courtyard and he stretches out his hand to the garden, whether through a hole or a crack, and he takes a key over there, the yiftach b'karmelis, and he's not allowed to go ahead and do that, and then open up the lock from the garden that's considered a karmelis. And the reason is because he might come to draw the key and bring it back to where he is. And that is, Remeir is machmir stringent, even by Rishuyas Drabbanan, even by rabbinic domains, which is a Karmelis, that is, he considers that that is forbidden. And similarly, but Karmelis, he shouldn't stand in the garden and stretch out his hand to an area that has a height of 10 tfachim and a width of 4 tfachim, which is Rishus HaYachid, and that's where the key is. The yiftach Rishus HaYachid, and open up in Rishus HaYachid the lock that's above 10 tfachim. So, therefore, what Remeir was saying, and that's what the Gemara is explaining right now, is that he said it is forbidden for a person to go ahead and stretch out his hand to an area from a Karmelis to an area that has a height of 10 tefachim, a width of 4 tefachim, which is a Shus HaYachid, and bring and open up the lock that's there, because he might go ahead and bring it even to a Karmelis, so it doesn't work from a Chatzar Targino. Even that Remeir said is Asur. I'm going to continue on to Amud Beis. Ella M. Kain, and this is what we had said in the Mishnah, and this is regarding this case of the Seifa, unless he makes a wall that has a height of 10 tefachim. In other words, regarding this case of the Seifa, that now where he's in the garden, in the Karmelis, and that is a problem of going and transferring and opening up a key that's in the Chatzir, which is Rishus HaYachid. However, if you make mechitzah around yourself, which now, even though you're in the Ginu, which is a Karmelis, that now will make it and transform it into Rishus HaYachid, and therefore that goes up until the key, up until the sky. Then if you've made walls around yourself, then you're allowed to go ahead and open up the the lock inside the chatzah, because then even if you would bring it back into yourself, you wouldn't be in the kamalus of a gina, rather you'd be in Rosh Hashanah Yachid, Divrei Amei, that's the opinion of Amei. And on this is what? Amrulay, they said to him, Maisa b'shuk shel patamim shahayi b'shalayim, that there was an incident in the marketplace of the butchers that was in Yerushalayim, which is a karmelis. Yes, it's a karmelis, as according to this second pshat of Rava, that although it's a karmelis, but that is what Remei, even in the karmelis, says forbidden. But however, the story shows shahayi noilin, that they would lock their doors, and they would put their key, although they were standing in the karmelis, in the street, but they would put the keys of the gates by a window that was on top of the opening. And therefore, and a different version was, Rabbi Yisrael says, Shuk Shul Tamarim, it was the marketplace of the wool sellers. But either way, we see that it is permitted to stand in the karmelis and go ahead and open up in Rosh Hashanah Yachid. And therefore, that is what they were asking on him. Again, those are the two answers that the Gemara says. That either that the case of the Mishnah was talking about when Yerushalayim already was not a karmelis, it was already Rosh Hashanah Ram. That was the response to him. And he only says, forbidden by Rosh Hashanah Ram. Or they were even responding to him that no, Yerushalayim is a karmelis. But Remeir says forbidden even by a karmelis, and that's why they're responding to him, that you see clearly that they were allowed to stand in the karmelis and go ahead and transport something in Rosh Hashanah Yachid, and we're not concerned that you're going to bring it back, and therefore to make it forbidden, because even if you would, ultimately, even then it would be only a shvus to shvus, it would be a gzeir l'gzeir, which we don't say. So now the Gemara continues and brings a brisa with the same topic regarding standing in the karmelis and going ahead and moving your hand in a Rosh Hashanah Yachid. So the Gemara brings Tana by Lenna Braisa. Pischei Shari Gina, the gate of a garden. Now, generally, as Rashi explains, their locked doors had a height of 10 tefachim and a width of 4 tefachim. Therefore, the gate themselves, the lock, had a status of Rosh Hashanah Yachid. So regarding the opening of the gates of a garden, so if there's a gatehouse inside, that is, a gate is a small little house, which the opening of the garden is open to that, and the gate of the garden opens up into Rosh Hashanah Rabbim, as Rashi says, from the fact that the Sefer says, that as we're going to see in a moment, the Sefer of this Brisa says, and so too, that the stores that open up into Rosh Hashanah Rabbim. So we see that we're opening up, the garden is open to an area of Rosh Hashanah Rabbim, and it has a gate. So he said, if there's a gatehouse from within the garden, then Pesach v'neil mebifnim, then you can go ahead and open and close this gate from inside the garden, because of the gatehouse, which itself is a Rosh Hashanah Yachid, it's a house, and so too the gate is considered a Rosh Hashanah Yachid, as we said, because it has a height of 10 tefachim and a width of 4 tefachim. So therefore, there's no problem of opening up over there, because even if you brought it back to yourself, it still would both be in Rosh Hashanah Yachid. If the gatehouse is on the outside, then you go ahead and open and close on the outside, because again, either way, it's going to be where the area of the gatehouse is, they will convey it to a halacha of Rosh Hashanah Yachid, and then there won't be a problem about transporting, even if you were to bring it back for yourself. If there's a gatehouse on either side, then you can open and close on either side. However, if there is no gatehouse on either side, then it's forbidden on both sides. And that is because, as we said, the manul, the gate, the lock, is a Rosh Hashanah Yachid, whereas the garden is not a Rosh Hashanah Yachid, it's a karmelis. Now, although the key is placed on top of the lock, however, Reb Meir says it's usur, because of a gezeira that a person should not stand in the Rosh Hashanah Ram, or even, as we just said before in the Gemara, even in a garden, and take a key that's in the Rosh Hashanah Yachid, because although you're not doing anything forbidden over there, because you're taking it from right on top of the lock to in the lock to back on top, which is no issa of transporting in the Rosh Hashanah Yachid, but you might come to bring it to where you are, which is in either area on either side, either Rosh Hashanah Ram or a karmelis, and that is a problem if you were to do that, and therefore Remei says it's also because of that gezeira. Now the Gemara says a similar type of case in the Seifa, which the Gemara is going to elaborate after the Gemara quotes the Braisa. The same thing applies to a store that's open to Rosh Hashanah Ram, same thing like the Reisha, where you have a garden on one side, Rosh Hashanah Ram, on the other side, and you have a lock in between. So the same thing that the Gemara says, the Braisa says, regarding a store that opens to Rosh Hashanah Ram. However, here it differentiates between where exactly the lock is, as the Gemara will explain later. If the lock is below 10 tefachim from the ground, so then maybe maftech me'er Shabbos. Then you go ahead, you bring the key from before Shabbos, and then you put it on the threshold. So then tomorrow you can go ahead and open and close, because What you do is you're standing and you could carry the key from the threshold to the lock through the ear space of the threshold, which is not a problem because ultimately you're only carrying the ear of a caramelist because they're both the threshold and the lock itself is within the ear space of 10 tefachim, which is considered caramelist. And then you can go ahead and put it back on Shabbos to its place, to the threshold. However, the Braisa says, Bizman Shaman the Lamala Masara, but if the lock is above 10 tefachim, then maybe Mavteich Merv Shabbos. Then you bring the key from before Shabbos. What do you do with it? You put it onto the lock. And that is, you cannot put it onto the threshold like we did when it's below 10 tefachim. Because then when on Shabbos, when you'd be bringing it from the threshold to the lock, you'd be taking it from a caramelist, which is in the ear space below 10 tefachim, to a Rosh Hashanah because it's above the height of 10 tefachim. So therefore, you put it on top of the lock. And then tomorrow, you go ahead and you open your clothes and you can put it back to its place to the lock that's on top of the lock. And as Rashi says, that their locks would be made out of wood like the poor people do, and it has a very wide space, and therefore this place where to put the key on top. That's the understanding of Remeir, that, again, depending on the height of the lock, that it would depend if it's lower than 10 tefachim, you put on the threshold. If it's above 10 tefachim, you put on the lock itself. The Gemara later on will explain what their opinion is, that they do not consider this lock as Rosh Hashanah, which obviously Rav Meir does. As he said, when it's above 10 tefachim, you cannot put on the ground, rather you have to put it onto the lock. Chum disagree with that. And therefore they say, even if the lock is above 10 tefachim, maybe mafteach me'er Shabbos, you bring the key from before Shabbos, you could put it onto the threshold. And then tomorrow you could open and close the lock, and you could put it back to its place to the threshold. Or even, you could even put it by the window that's on top of the opening, which, as long as it doesn't have a space of 4 tefachim, that although it has a height of 10 tefachim, however, it's a makom ptur, it's an exempt area, because although it has a height of 10 tefachim, but if the width is narrower than 4 tefachim, it's considered an exempt area, and therefore you could transport it from wherever to that at makom ptur. However, but if the window, which has a height of 10 tefachim, and has now a width of 4 tefachim, that would be forbidden. Because then you would be considered transporting from one domain to another domain, because you'd be taking it from the iskufa, from the threshold, which is a caramelist, to the window, which is the Rosh Hashanah. Now, although he first placed it, when he went from the caramelist, from the iskufa, to the window, there was some type of a detour, that he first went to the lock, which is an exempt area, as the Rabban holds, as we're going to explain in a moment, which is batel, which is it could be annexed to any neighboring domain. So what would be the problem? You're allowed to put it from the caramelist, the iskufa, the threshold, to the lock, which is a makom ptur, and then from the makom ptur to the Rosh Hashanah of the window. However, the Gemara will explain that we hold like Rav Dimi, that he says, ubavad shelo yachlifu. Although the makom ptur, an exempt area, could be used both for the people of Rosh Hashanah and the people of Rosh Hashanah, but you're not allowed to use it as a stepping stone from one Rosh Hashanah to another Rosh Hashanah, and therefore one is not allowed to go ahead and take from the caramelist, from the skufa, to the makom ptur of the lock, and then from the lock to the window, even though each one individually is allowed. So now the Gemara it comes to clarify the case of the Seifa. Well, the case of the Reisha we explained well regarding the garden. However, the Gemara says, Midikamar v'chein chanuyas. From the fact that the Seifa said, and similarly this halacha of the garden, which had this gate in between it and the Rosh Hashanah, that so too for a store, Mechlal dibiskufas karmelis eskin. Obviously we're talking about a threshold that's a caramelist, as Tosis explains, from the fact that we say v'chein, that makes it sound like that's similar to the case of the garden, which, as Tosis goes through, to show that there has to be talking about a case of a caramelist. Therefore, if we're talking about that the threshold of this case of the store that has the gate separating it is considered caramelist, so how do we understand this case? How do you understand the case of this lock? If the lock does not have a width of 4 tefachim, so makom turhu, it's considered an exempt area, and therefore, even if it's above 10 tefachim, however, why does Rav Meir consider it a Rosh Hashanah, and therefore forbidden to go ahead and transport it, that you can't put the key by the threshold if it's above 10 tefachim, because then you're going to be taking it from the caramelist to Rosh Hashanah, but it's not Rosh Hashanah, it's less than 4 tefachim, and therefore it's considered makom turhu. You could take from a caramelist to an exempt area. And the E is Be'arba, and if it does have a width of 4 tefachim, so Behal Lim Rabbanan, and such a case where it has a height of 10 tefachim and a width of 4 tefachim, the Rabbanan would say that Av Bizman Shahamanu Lamalam Yod, that even if the lock is above 10 tefachim, maybe Mavtech Merv Shabbos, that you could bring the key from before Shabbos, Umaniche Be'eskufa, and then you could put the key on the threshold, and Lamacher Peseach Venoilba, and then tomorrow you could open and close it, Umachzir Leskufa, and then you could put it back to the threshold, or to the window that's by the opening Is that really so? But then, if it's talking about that the lock has a height of 10 tvachim and a width of 4 tvachim, if you're taking it from the threshold, you're carrying from a karmelis to Rosh Hashanah, and that, according to everybody, is forbidden. So how do we understand this case of the chanus? If it does not have a width of 4 tvachim, Reb Meir is hard to understand. If it has a width of 4 tvachim, the Rabban are hard to understand. So Abaye says, Lo'olam de'ein barbo. In truth, it does not have a width of 4 tvachim, which then makes it difficult to understand Reb Meir that he says forbidden. However, v'yesh boy lochuk, there is area to carve out. And that is, within the area of the door, near the edge of the lock, in the width of the door, there's room to carve out ulahashlim iladala, and then to complete it to the space, to a width of 4 tefachim, by the edge of the lock. Upahopligin, this is what they're arguing about. Dear Meir Savar, as he says elsewhere in Shas, chaykin lahashlim, that we could carve out an area to complete the requisite measurement. And that is, we view it as if it's carved out. And therefore, since we view it as if it's carved out, we view as if the lock has a width of 4 tefachim, in spite of the fact that it doesn't, because there is room to carve it out. Therefore, according to Reb Meir, it is Rosh Hashanah. Oh, it's Rosh Hashanah. Then you cannot put the key on the iskufa, on the threshold, when the lock is above 10 tefachim, because then he considers it a Rosh Hashanah. Rabban Savri ain't chaykin l'hashem. Rabban hold that we don't view it as if it's carved out, and therefore, since it does not have a width of 4 tefachim, according to them, it is a makom patur, and therefore one could put the key even by the threshold, even if the lock is above 10 tefachim, because it does not have a width of 4 tefachim, and therefore there's no problem about transporting from a karmelis to a makom patur. So the Gemara concludes regarding this braisa. Amar Rabbi bar Abaye, Shema mina mahamas nitin tlas. We learned three halachas, three chidushim from this braisa. One, Shema mina chukin l'hashem. We learned the halacha that Reb Meir tells us about, that you carve out to complete an area. V'shema mina hadabei Reb Meir mishari regina. We also learned that he retracted his halacha of the gate of the garden. And that is from the fact that he says it's permitted to stand by a skufa that's a karmelis, by the threshold that's a karmelis, and to take a key by the lock that's above 10 tefachim, which has a width of 4 tefachim, which essentially has halacha, like a reshus hayachid. And that is, although he says that we're not allowed to put the key by the iskufa, because then you're transporting from a karmelis to reshus hayachid, but he said you're allowed to go ahead and put it on top of the lock. And then you go ahead and take it from right on top of the lock to into the lock, and then you can put it right back on there. Now, although that's permitted because you're transporting Rosh Hashanah, but we had originally said in his name that you're not allowed to stand in the karmelis and then even move it in Rosh Hashanah. Yet here he says you just cannot leave it in the iskufa, then take the key of, because then you'd be actually transporting from a karmelis to Rosh Hashanah. But you're allowed to go ahead and keep it on top of the lock and then open the lock, which is transporting Rosh Hashanah, but you're standing on the threshold in the karmelis. And therefore we see from this V'chein Mechanos that he's not concerned with that. That one could stand in the Karmelis and transport it in a Rosh Hashanah Yachid, that it's only a problem when you're in the Rosh Hashanah Rabbim and then you're transporting Rosh Hashanah Yachid, or vice versa, that there with the biblical domains he's concerned. But as we see from the end of the Braisa, that one is not, there's not a problem about regarding the case of the Sharigina, that he actually retracted from that Halacha. And he says that there is no Gzeira when it's Rabbinic domain, as we said, because that would be a Shvus, the Shvus would be Gzeira L'Gzeira. And the third halacha is v'shamet minam d'rabbanan, that we learn from the halacha of the Rabbanan that they said that if the window has an area of arba has a space of 4 tefachim width, that they said you're not allowed to take the key from the threshold and then close the lock, which is an exempt area, and then from there, which that itself is permitted, but they said that you're not allowed to go ahead and then take it to the window, which is Rosh Hashanah Yachid, because you're going to be transporting from a iskufa, from the threshold, which is a karmelis, to the window, which is a shusha yachid, through a makam tur, through an exempt area of the lock, which they say it is a makam tur, because they don't say chaykin l'hashlam, and it doesn't have a width of 4 tefachim. That from that halacha, we show that isler l'rabdimi, the beholder of the halacha of rabdimi, that he says, as long as, although you're allowed to use a makam tur, whether you're in your shusha or shusha yachid, but you can't use it as a point of transference. The Chiyas Rav Dimi, or Rabbi Yechanan, that he said, Malkum Shein Bar, Al Bar, Al Bar, a space, that it doesn't have a width of 4 tefachim, although Mutti Lebnei Rosh Hashanah, Lebnei Rosh Hashanah, the Kasav Lav, that everyone's allowed to use it to shoulder their burdens, although two different domains, it's not a problem. It's not considered transporting it to a forbidden area. It's considered mutter for everybody. For as long as you don't use it as a place of transference, and therefore, which is interesting, according to Rabban, although the window can use the lock and from the lock to the window, and similarly the karmelis, the iskufa, can you could take it from the threshold to the lock and from the lock there, but you can't go ahead and take it from the iskufa to the lock to then to the window, because that would be taken from a karmelis ultimately to Rosh Hashanah Yachid through the Makom Tur, which is a forbidden, that's included, Ubavad Shalayach Lifa. So now the Gemara continues with the next Mishnah, again continuing with this halacha about closing doors. So the Mishnah says, Neger, regarding a bolt, and that is, which they would use to basically push it into the hole that's in the threshold to close the door. They would use this bolt in the way of pushing it down, and that would keep the door from opening because it would be now solidified there in the ground. So this bolt, sheyesh bereisha glustra, that has a knob on the edge, that is, the edge is thick. And because it's thick, you could use it as a pestle, which is used to grind and to smash pepper and different spices. And this is the first opinion of the Mishnah, although that it has a status of a kli, a vessel on it, because it could be used as a pestle, Rebbe Elazar Oyser, still Rebbe Elazar says it's forbidden to utilize this bolt only if it's attached and it's hanging on the door, as the Gemara will explain. So although it has a status of a vessel, which generally is something that's permitted to be used, it's forbidden. The fact that it has a thick edge like a knob, which could be used as a pestle, is not going to be considering it something that's permitted to use, and therefore it would be forbidden unless if it's attached and it's hanging. However, B'Yisi Matri says it's permitted even if it's not, doesn't have all the qualifications, because he says it already has a status of a vessel on it because of this glustra, the fact that it could be used as a pestle, and therefore it's not merci kabay. It doesn't look like you're building when you're going ahead and now using it as a bolt. The first opinion holds it is forbidden because if it doesn't have, as long as it's attached to show that it's part of the door, and that is just like a door is not a problem, it's bayna because we see it as something that's attached and that this is its utility. However, Rebbe Elazar says that even if it has a status of a vessel, it would not be enough for it to be considered that you see that it's only a vessel and not closing up a wall as if it's bayna. It has to have the qualifications of that it's attached and that it's hanging. However, Rebbe Elazar says it is permitted. So Amr Rebbe Elazar, Elazar says, I'll prove to you my halacha that it's forbidden because ma'aseh b'kneset shebet tveria. So you know again by hetta that they would utilize it in a permitted way, that ultimately they came and said it's forbidden because although it's usable as a pestle, even though it has this thick edge, it's a problem. If it's not attached, it looks like you're building, like you're adding onto the wall. Rabbi Amri says, no, the version of the story was the opposite. They were always made it forbidden. They said, you're not allowed to use it. To the contrary, then the elders came and said, no, it's permitted to use it because since it has the status of a vessel, it doesn't look like you're adding on to the building because no one goes ahead and takes the utensil and adds it on. Obviously being used in the form of a door, of a bolt, and not in the form of adding on to a building because even though it wasn't attached, which is generally the criteria needs to be to show that it's like a door or a bolt and not that you're adding on to the wall, it's enough because it already has the status of a vessel. So the Gemara clarifies this machlekes. Benitel ba'agdai, when it's attached and it's hanging by a very strong and permanent rope, which then you could take it through the rope and it won't get detached when you're holding it, which is nitel ba'agdai, can be taken with what it's connected with. Kulam le'pligi, no one argues that then it's permitted because since it's tied and it's hanging very well, so it's obvious that again, it's being used to close, and it's not being used as adding it onto the wall. You see something that's attached. This is something that's used in the function of a bolt, and it's not being used in the way of adding onto the wall and keeping it there with some type of a permanence. Keep ligi. What was their machlegis, which we find in the Mishnah? B'she'ena nitel be'igdoi, where it cannot be taken with what it's attached. In other words, that the rope that it's attached with is very thin, and if you want to take it from there and to carry it through the rope, it would detach right away. On that we have the machlekas. The marasav and the Rabbi Yosi held, even the yesh bereisha glustra, since the edge has this knob, toris klilav, so it has the status of a vessel, because we say it can be used as a pestle. And therefore, since it has the status of a vessel, it's already permitted. We don't view it as part of the wall. We view it as a vessel. The marasav and the Rabbi Elazar held, even the initl b'igdoloi, since it cannot be taken with its what it's attached to, so therefore not, and that is Rabbi Elazar held, that since it cannot be taken with what it's connected to the wall, so therefore ultimately we view it as if it's not attached to the wall. And therefore, as we learn in the Mishnah later on, that a bolt that's just laying there on the floor and it's not attached to a door, you're not allowed to use it to close the door. And therefore, this is ultimately says the same thing. Since it's a very thin string, it would get it ripped off right away. It's like it's just laying on the floor. And the fact that it has a knob, that itself doesn't make it permitted. Whereas Rabbi Yossi, that was his svar that he argued in Rabbi Elazar, and he held that, no, the knob helps to say that we view it as a vessel, as a kli, and therefore it's a kli, so therefore it's not a binyan, it's not a building. We don't go ahead and take something that's a vessel. The fact that it's a vessel conveys to us that we're not using this as an article to finish up a building. Rather, it's a vessel, and obviously it's being used as a bolt, and that's why even if it's not attached, because it is very thin, the fact that it's a vessel will make it permitted.